Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Today, I'm going to talk about a subject that concerns us all. All of us, either you are young or old, male or female, rich or poor, highly educated or uneducated. In essence, this topic is for you and me. And it's the topic is to talk about that we need to be aware of the temptation of Satan. And so, in doing so, we avoid sin and its terrible consequence. This is a topic that concerns all of us. It is a titanic struggle at the heart of the world, from generation to generation. All of us need to be aware and wise and not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. I've seen many examples, I'm sure you have too, examples of peoples, men and women, falling into temptation. Some of them gave up all the families, ruined the careers, and hurt many peoples around them, peoples that they love. You have seen examples like that, and I have. So today's topic is taken from a case study of the first sin in Genesis 3. Although it is the scenario which is old, very, very old, the scenario is different from today. Today may be that some of the sins that we committed is very highly, much more sophisticated. But the principle of temptation very much remains the same, not even today. So let us turn to the Bible and take a look at this case study of the first sin. It says in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals." The serpent was crafty. The serpent here represents Satan, or the devil in the New Testament. Satan is deceitful. When Satan comes to tempt you, he will not announce ahead of time. He will not send you a delivery notice. He will not raise red flags. It will just happen. Temptation can come to you at any time, at any place. Maybe during the time when you feel lonely or discouraged. Or maybe it's the time when you feel the height of success. Or maybe the time when you are mad. The tempter will show up. He's crafty. Satan start off with a very harmless discussion of God. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? It's just a discussion, talking about God. How harmful can that be? He's just asking for clarification, talking about God. Notice, what did God commanded Adam? In the previous chapter, in verse 16, the Lord God commanded Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. And then Satan said, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You see, Satan is crafty, he's deceitful. You notice this subtle change to God's word. And this change distorted entirely the truth. It makes God's command very harsh, very restrictive. Did God say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? While God was saying you can eat every tree, you're free every tree. And then the woman replied, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You see here, the woman was kind of already yielding to the distraction of Satan. First, the woman defended God by becoming straighter than God. He said, God did not say that. God said, you cannot just the tree in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it. God did not say not touching it. Some people defend God by becoming straighter than God. They thought that they are holier if they go beyond God's command. And there's danger in that. And also, the woman become distracted by Satan by focusing on what God do not allow, rather than seeing what God have provided. You see, the command is that you can eat from every tree of the tree. But Satan was successful to get the woman to ignore every tree that is allowed, but focus on the one that is not allowed. sometimes people turn their back on all the good things, all the blessings in their lives. Throw them all away for a single sin in their lives. They no longer see God's goodness. All they want is that one thing, the missing thing, that they so desperately need, and they will do anything to get it. The more they are not allowed, the more they want it. Next, Satan's strategy is to attack God's word. In verse 4, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. You will not surely die. When God's commands in the previous chapters, he says, "For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Here, Satan directly attack, contradict of what God says. You will not surely die. How can you die for eating a piece of fruit? Come on. God certainly doesn't mean that. You will not surely die. How could it? God is so gracious, God is so powerful, so big. How would God care about condemning you to death because of eating an apple, a fruit? As you read the Bible, how do you respond to the warnings about disobedience that fill the pages of scriptures? Does God mean it when he declares, "The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction"? Destruction? Death? Is it that serious? How could that be? Why don't you obey the rest of 99% of the Bible and just ignore 1%? The 1% that is not convenient to you. You see, today, in our media, in our movies, everywhere, there are stories and stories and examples that God, people indulge in sin and get away from it, right? So many examples that we see in our today's world. It's full of that. They didn't die. They did not reap destruction. How could that be? You see, Satan wants us to doubt God's command, God's word. Not only did Satan attack God's word, he also attacked God's character. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You see, God is withholding something good from you. God doesn't want you to have the power to decide what is good or evil. If you question God's word because you doubt God's goodness, then Satan has done his work. Does God care about me? Is he a good God? When something bad happens in our life and we question God, why? You see, that question mark, why, is like a dagger pointing to the heart of God. Satan wants us to take charge of our life instead of let God. He wants us to believe God wants to hold back something from us, from enjoying a full life. Many of you have heard of this website called Ashley Madison, right? Ashley Madison is an infidelity website. In other words, helping you discreetly cheat on your spouse. The slogan they use, it says very simply, life is short. Have an affair. Life is short. Have an affair. In other words, it's telling you, don't miss your chance. Do not deprive yourself. In your short life, don't deprive yourself of something exciting, enjoyable. Just do it. Nobody will know. Satan is telling you, by obeying God's command, you are depriving yourself. Nothing will happen to you. Just a disobedience here, a disobedience there. Come on, can't be destruction. Doesn't hurt. So in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. You see, when the woman started to doubt God's word and doubt God's goodness, sensuality takes over. He saw the fruit of the tree was good for food. You see, she is now deciding of what is good instead of God declaring something as good. You see, in the previous chapter, it's always God who decides what is good. God saw the universe, the creation, and he says it's good. But now, human beings want to have the authority to declare what is good. This fruit is good for me, good for food. And the decision making will leave to the senses. In verse 7, we see the consequence of sin. Consequence of sin is shame and alienation. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Ironically, when they disobey God and ate the forbidden food, the result is the eyes open, but it's not open for wisdom. The eyes was open to see their shame. Sin results in alienation from one another. The man and woman no longer are totally allowing themselves truthful and vulnerable, but they become alienated from one another. And that is symbolized by sowing fig leaves together for barriers, for protection. And the alienation is also from God. And this is symbolized in verse 8. When they heard the sound of God, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The man and woman no longer welcome the presence of God. When God arrives, they want to hide themselves among the trees. What are you hiding now? Are you hiding from God on something? What is that tree that you are hiding behind? Sin is transgressing divine boundaries, which results in alienation. A theologian called Brueggemann once said, "Freedom which does not discern the boundaries of human lives leaves us anxious. If we ignore the boundary of life, that boundary that God set for us, and we want to cross over it," Brueggemann says, "freedom that does not discern the boundaries of human life leaves us anxious." Anxious. And the attempts we like to resolve anxiety is by consuming things and acquiring stuff. But they will never satisfy us apart from the reality of God. You see, only God will satisfy us. But sin alienates us from God, and we want other things, substitutes for God. And that would never do. Jeremiah 2, verse 13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." The rest of Genesis 3 talk about God's judgment of pain and death. Yet, out of this judgment, God also bring along the hope of life and salvation, the promise of life and salvation. You see, sin brought into the world spiritual and physical death. Humans are now mortal. But yet, God let life continue through birth. Eve became the mother of all the living. Life continues to carry on through other generations. One generation died, passed away, another generation. And God made the prophecy that the woman's generation, offspring, the woman's seed, will ultimately defeat Satan. He says, "I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Past Christmas, we celebrate that the woman's offspring will deal Satan a fatal blow in the head. God predicted salvation, victory over sin and Satan. And it's also symbolized by God making garments of skins for Adam and his wife. In verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. You see, this is already talking about animal sacrifice. An animal is sacrificed so that their skin will cover over the shame of Adam and Eve. So today, we talk about temptation and sin. This is a topic that we all face. It's a topic that we deal with it all the days of our life. The essence of sin lies in doubting God's goodness and then rejecting his word. And sin is serious. God cared about us enough to send his son Jesus to save us from sin. You see, Christianity is not about list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is a relationship with God who loves you so much that he gave his son and values you so much that he has made you a child of his. I don't know what sin you are indulging right now. Doing something that you think that nobody will know. And never think about the consequence. Today, God is telling you that he knows. And God is also telling you that he has power and grace available for you to forsake the wrong and to come back to him. God cares about you. God tells you disobedience is a serious, serious sin that will destroy you. Come back to him. Trust him. Trust in his power and enjoy God even now. Let us pray. Lord, as long as we live, we are faced with the challenge, temptation of sin. The accuser, Satan, will never let go of us. And we pray that by your grace and your power and your word, we can withstand the evil one. Protect us, deliver us, and give us the strength to resist the temptation, to run away from it, and to live a life, the good and perfect will that you have for us. And let us enjoy the fellowship with you once again. In Jesus' name we pray.
Please rise.